Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, put on your game faces, because we've got some new ones.
Oh, yeah, baby. An iPad event maybe next week. Possibly Adobe's new suite of apps. And what's going on with PhotoStream?
All that and long, long, long form reading on iPad Today.
That's like fun.
Yeah, it is.
iPad Today is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/iPad today. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com.
Long?
Long.
So long.
It's iPad Today time, the time when we get together, gather together, you and I, Sarah Lane.
And all of our apps.
You got a bunch of apps today.
Yeah, you just got to carry them.
Special sack of apps.
Sack of apps.
iPad Today is all about iPads. Apps a lot, but also news, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, little tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks.
Some of them found by us. Many of them found by all of you who write in every week. And, you know, we mentioned just a moment ago that we might have an iPad event next week. Now, this comes from Recode.
They know.
Well,
I feel that that's a pretty good
and
source.
What Recode did for the iPhone event was call it specifically a couple of weeks before Apple ended up saying,
right.
Yeah, it's official. So this is another one of these. It's not like journalists got an invitation.
Not yet.
And we thought that it would be October 21st, which is two Tuesdays from today.
And then Jim Dalrymple of The Loop said, nope.
Nope what? Oh,
nope.
Nope, on the 21st.
On the 21st. So we knew that. What's weird is normally they are on Tuesdays. The 21st was on a Tuesday. The 16th is not.
Isn't it?
Is it?
I think you're
it's
right.
A Thursday.
It's a Thursday. It's
yeah.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
Gosh, in my mind, I was thinking it was 8 days from today because math is hard.
This will be, we're pretty sure this is going to be a new iPad or two.
Yeah.
Possibilities include a 12-incher.
Possibilities include a 12-incher, which rumors, at least the last one I think I read at 95 Mac said that it wouldn't be available until next year. Also, rumors of a gold-backed iPad, which is not
makes
very
sense.
Special, but no. I guess it would at least mirror what's available color-wise on the iPhone line.
Yeah, they have the slate, they have the silver, which is what you have, and then they have the gold.
That's right. That's right.
And then probably Touch ID on all the new iPads.
Oh, better be. Yeah. None of that is very exciting, though.
Well,
which
come
is
on,
why,
what can you do to be exciting?
Which is why there are also rumors that we might see a Retina iMac. We'll get certainly more information about Yosemite and an availability date, I would assume.
I heard that rumor on the Retina iMac, but I don't understand it. Isn't the iMac currently Retina?
No.
It's pretty high resolution.
Yes.
2660 by 1440, I think. I don't know, so it'll be a higher resolution than that.
Right. Which is almost like, besides saying, first Retina desktop computer we've ever done, I'm not exactly sure who's
right.
Like, I want a Retina. I think people say, I want a Retina MacBook Air.
Air is what I want, yeah.
Yeah. I would have gotten that, actually.
There's an issue with Retina because you're pushing so many pixels at such high resolution that you need a lot of horsepower, GPU and so forth, to do that. And it's one thing to do it on a 5.5-inch phone. It's another thing to do it on a 27-inch screen. That's a lot of pixels.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I feel like the resolution on the iMac is more than adequate. Part of the problem is, what does Retina mean? I mean, Retina, I think the definition Apple uses is if at normal viewing distance you can't see a pixel. Well, the iMac is definitely Retina in that case. I can't see any dots. So I guess it'll be higher resolution. But I don't understand why that would be a big deal, frankly. And I have to tell you, I'm using a 4K with the Mac Pro and Yosemite, the preview, and it's sluggish. It's hard to push that many pixels.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not necessarily thinking it's a good idea at all then?
Yeah, I'm just, beware, watch, we saw this with the iPad 3, when you get all those pixels and you don't get an equivalent increase in horsepower, you can have a sluggish machine. Mm. Remember, that's why they did the iPad 4 so quickly on the heels of the iPad 3. Mm-hmm. Because the iPad 3, didn't bother me, but some people said was a little sluggish. It was the first Retina iPad. Will they do a mini?
That's a good question. I mean, the mini Retina, should certainly get Touch ID.
Because I like the iPad Mini. You like the iPad Air.
I can't really think of what else they would have.
This is the problem. You have... I'm gonna put a good spin on it.
Okay.
You have a nearly perfect product.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can do except make it faster. I don't even know if you want to make it much thinner. The Air is pretty thin.
It's pretty thin.
So you have a perfect product. So you can only do incremental improvements. Touch ID is an obvious one because we're going to have Apple Pay. You just want to have that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to it. In fact, you and I have both noticed after using Touch ID on the iPhone, it's kind of a pain to have to enter a password on the iPad.
I'm constantly hovering my thumb over my iPad, trying to unlock it.
Right.
And now with the iPad's on-off switch still up top, because nothing's changed, of course, but with the iPhone 6... with the on-off switch on the side. Now I never know what I'm doing.
Welcome to my
world. Again, it's one of these, it's
welcome
the Touch ID thing.
Welcome to my world.
Like, just have them act like each other.
Every phone I use pushes the on-off switch somewhere else. One other thing that
just
they
bend
actually,
this all the time.
I'm going to say the
bend it.
It doesn't bend. Go ahead.
I want to, though.
Put all of your might, your strong, treacherous little ball
of steel.
Do you ever
have urges to do things that you know would just be inappropriate and horrible? That's what I have, because it's so big and I just want to...
What is your opinion on Bendgate?
I think it's stupid. What, do they get 9 complaints after how many millions sold? I just want to bend it like a Kit Kat.
You know what really bugs me is that now the thing to do is go into an Apple store and bend the phone.
What?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
That's
the
thing.
Kids are doing?
Kids are doing it.
Justine probably did it.
No. She
loves going into Apple
stores.
She's
a nice person. She wouldn't do that.
Oh, this is something that people are doing to be mean.
Well, they're saying, let's see if it bends.
Oh,
and you have to put a lot of effort into it.
Well, you're basically let's see if I can break this gadget.
It's like 70 pounds.
You can break. Let's see if I can break this MacBook. I can if I want to sit on it.
Of course you can. It's just dumb. It's like, of course you can bend it.
Right.
The question is not if you can bend it. The question is, will it just bend spontaneously in your pocket? And I don't think so.
No.
You have to work at it. It's not easy.
Yeah. You have to, put a lot of forceful pressure on it.
10 days from now, I'm sure there'll be an event. Here's the thing I think is going to be the sleeper of the event.
Okay.
Apple Pay, they have to put NFC in. Well, they don't have to, but they might put NFC in the iPads.
Should.
I don't think people are going to go around tapping their iPads and stuff, but might as well, right? It's cheap. Apple Pay and Yosemite, OS 10, 10.10. Those are actually going to be the big announcements. The iPads, they'll be just the newer iPads. I bet you they don't even give them a name, just the iPad. This year's iPad. And then, Yosemite and Apple Pay, this is going to be the debut of Apple Pay. It's going to be a big deal.
I feel like you still need iPad, because iPad Mini is small. iPad Air is what I am using. If there's an iPad Pro or something else that signifies the larger iPad, you can't really just call it iPad.
You can have a Mini, Air, and Pro. You'll still have that.
Well, okay. So you're just talking about, the numbers have already gone away.
Yeah, just the Mini iPad Pro.
So I thought that as I was perusing the App Store over the weekend and thinking, there certainly are a lot of games, what I want my app cap to be. And then I thought, we should do a game theme, because especially with iOS 8 and a lot of apps getting not just updated to...
But they got metal.
Yeah, to work better. But yeah, you've got a bunch of apps, game apps that are new and interesting and noteworthy, in fact.
Bet.
There was an app that I believe somebody that I follow on Twitter said, I want to make sure that I was giving credit where credit is due. Entwined, Andrew Crow. Andrew Crow, who works on the design team at Uber, in fact, he said Entwined Challenge is a really beautiful app. So I'm like,
this
is a design person.
Let's play it.
Yeah, so let's play it. Of course, I'm really bad at it because that is the story of my life. But it is kind of cool.
You like puzzle games.
Yeah, this is not...
I do.
I wouldn't call
it... Well, it's from Sony.
Yeah. Of course, they say it's better with headphones. Let me make sure that
it sounds good.
Oh, you can hear it. Good.
Yeah.
All right, so the idea, it's not so much a puzzle game. It's more, I would say, like a dexterity game The problem is that I'm not so good at it, and it's definitely using your fingers on either side of the iPad. Okay, so as you can see...
Well, that's interesting. So that means it's using multi-touch.
Yeah. What I'm doing here is I just want to make sure that I'm hitting...
Wow.
...these guys in all the right places.
That looks too hard for me.
Well, it actually seems really easy at first, right? Like, this is kind of silly. But then you got to do them both into the green. Oh, which I missed. Oh, gosh. Sorry if you guys don't see this very well. Crap. I'm doing really... I was doing so well this morning, and I was like, oh, I'm going to really... impress everybody. Now, here's the problem. I have to get 500 points on this level in order to get to the next level, which is, as you can see, there are a variety of levels here. I played it so much this morning. It's very, very smudgy. I'm on water level, and like wood, fire, earth, and metal are all locked until I do much better in the water level. So, what am I doing wrong? Great question. Couldn't tell you. It seems like I'm doing everything pretty well. Oh! Wait a second.
And the light goes on for Sarah Lane.
Oh, I'm such a dumb.
Very special iPad today.
Yeah.
What? I don't get it. What?
I'll show you. Give me a second. Okay.
I'm gonna go on record saying this is a dopey game. Oh, you got a combo.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you put an orange bird in an orange bag.
Well, okay, so watch. Look, they become green together. Come here.
Oh,
man.
Oh, blue and green and orange and yellow and red and green, blue, yellow. And orange makes black.
You guys saw that, what I did briefly, right? Look, sure I'm over 100 points. Nowhere near where I need to be, but making progress.
Yeah.
No, you're going to beat your high score. You did. No, no, almost. Hey, whoa. She's got a new world record, ladies and gentlemen. This is a dumb...
You don't like it?
It's dumb.
What do you mean it's dumb?
What's
you haven't
the
even
point?
Played it. The point is good hand-eye coordination. Try it sometime.
I know it doesn't look fun. Is it fun?
Look at me!
You had fun? Did you have fun there? Was that fun for you?
I enjoyed that. No, actually, it gives me heart palpitations.
I got a fun game.
Okay.
This is fun.
I would like to have some fun.
All right. This is called Box Trolls.
And Twine Challenge is 99 cents, by the way.
Yeah, this is freemium. Nah, I hate freemium, but that's everything's going to be freemium someday. Choose your box troll. You want to be the fish or the shoe? I think you're a shoe type.
Yeah, sure.
No,
kind of like Monopoly.
Don't you
know?
Already? I love the look and feel. Kind of reminds me of Abe's Odd World or something like that. This is a platformer, a side scroller. You have to.
This is based on a movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You're not very good at this either.
No. Well, this is the training.
You should be making fun of me at all.
This is the training. You got to watch out for the red hats. You hold. Okay, maybe jump later. I don't know. Hold the jump higher. Okay, this is really fun right now. No, I'm still in the training, you understand. I like to show you the game from the very beginning. Woo! Yeah! That's Box Trolls, basically. How do you get all those other gears? Only God knows. You like that sound when I tap it? It goes...
Yeah, you know how I feel about this.
Don't land on traps. See, that's a trap. Oh! And there they are, the red hats. You got to jump on their hats to schmook them.
I mean...
It's a platformer. Yeah. I like the look and feel of it, if you saw the movie.
Did you see the movie?
No.
I didn't... I've never
Talk
heard of the box
to
trolls.
Eggs.
But I don't know anything about Frozen either, so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, Okay, so 8-Bit Steve likes your game better. Let's see your second game.
Okay.
I got another one. I'm not done.
Oh, really? No, you're just going to bring out the big guns.
I'm building up to it.
Okay, so this app is actually something... I found it in the App Store. I hadn't heard of it before. It was called Beat Buddy. And at first I was like, oh, cool, it's a music game.
Yes.
And it kind of is, but it's actually... There's a storyline. What's interesting about it is that I'm sort of this little character who's trying to... I've already been playing this game.
The hi hat is a kind of a drum, so a snick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So what's interesting
or
about
cymbal,
this
I should say, cymbal.
Is I am, so I'm this little guy here, right?
Yeah.
And I don't exactly even know what I'm looking for, but I'm looking for something because I've been getting these, you know, little tips along the way.
Yeah.
But I keep getting into these little worlds where part of the fun is creating music. So I'm on a mission, but at the same time, I, you know, I've come and found the hi-hat crab. Now, I don't know if I can do anything with the hi-hat crab. Yeah, oh, I killed it. Oh, that's not very nice. Okay, I guess it was mean. Ooh, ooh, all right. Oh!
Ooh, uh-oh, Popeye.
Am I supposed to be killing the hi-hat crab? The snakes
there is, don't. There is a musical component to this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's just get out of here. Come on, come on. Come on, little buddy. Oh, I see what's going on. All right, hold on. I've got to kill the crab for a second so that the little guys turn into snails.
Yes.
And then I go through. Yes. Come on. Oh,
are you gonna make a song eventually, or?
There we go. Oh, come on. That was the song. My fight was the song.
And now we play it back.
Well, no, I've got to do it again. Hold on.
Yo,
I know what I'm doing.
Other instruments.
I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Well, you gotta.
You gotta work your way up.
Yeah. Come on. Hurry. Okay. Now I'm really confused. I thought I knew what I was doing here. Maybe I need to get a little bit more power.
Okay, now how good was my game?
Yeah, great. So good. Sorry. Now I can't explain it because I'm so confused. Go!
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I've had enough. That's called BeatBuddy HD. It is $4.99 in the App Store, and it is very upsetting.
Do you like pirates?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you like games? Oh, it crashed. That's nice. Do you like games where you build stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like Rovio, creators of Angry Birds?
No. Because they created Angry Birds.
Well, this is their...
Oh.
So the problem with Rovio is has been a huge success.
I have no problem with Rovio.
They haven't been able to do a follow-up.
Just a little tired of Angry Birds.
This is from their independent game studio, Rovio Stars, it's called. And this is called Plunder... Pirates, arr! But so it's a little bit of a building game.
Plunder Pirates.
So if you've ever played any of the games where you build stuff, you know, and you create resources in your mind, you're going to be familiar with this kind of thing. But there's also some exploration, which is kind of cool. So let me just get some new recruits in my pirate crew. Arr, me matey, let's have a couple of them too. Finish that up, and we're going to make sure we have some pirates to fight with.
Arr,
and now
arr.
We've got a ship, we got a crew, let's... go explore in the seas. This is where it crashed. And it did it again?
Yeah. Well,
gosh,
boy,
it.
we are four for four on bad games.
This may work better on the new iPad. This is a metal game, so
okay.
It uses that new technology and probably runs better on an A8 processor, the newer processor. You could play this on your iPhone. It would probably be fine on the iPhone 6. It would be very much like, see, we're going back again in time. Just did this. You get the idea. Building, once you build, you're going to explore. There's your ship. You're going to explore a little bit.
It's a mess.
You're going to collect. You see this stuff?
You got a lot of people to deal
with. See, there's stuff under here.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I like this kind of game. It's kind of a real-time strategy game plus a little exploration game.
But you're having a hard time just playing it.
Well, it worked on my other iPad. You know, sometimes, you know what you do when that happens is you restart. I just don't want to do it right now because it's going to take a while. But sometimes the memory gets clogged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess one thing I could try, I don't know, does this work when you do this, is if you get rid of some of the other things that you've been running, if things work a little bit better. Let's see. I don't think this actually does anything.
Oh.
I think it's one of those things where you think it does something, but it's not really doing anything. All right, now let's see if it'll crash. Explore the seas. This is where it crashed. No, see? I just have to close a few apps. So now... this is a map of the surrounding ocean. Set sail to discover new lands, enemies. Drag your finger along a map to plot a route. So you can see a little bit of the real-time, turn-based, actually. Not just real-time, but
turn-based style gaming as well.
So that is called Plunder Pirates. It's free.
Yep.
Everything we've done so far didn't cost you anything. You could conceivably spend money on in-app purchases. However, I'm sure they hope you do to speed things up, get some more of these critical gems, that kind of thing.
Entwined Challenge, which was the first app that I showed you where I was
kind of our winner?
Going through the space. That's the one that I'm actually going to go back to because, you know, it's interesting when you say, well, sir, you probably just didn't read the rules.
I didn't say that.
No, but somebody at home might be thinking that.
Somebody might be thinking that.
Here's the thing, though, is that you go ahead and you read the rules, and it's like, put your thumbs on side areas. Hey, Brian, look at my screen, would you?
No, I'm having fun here.
Well, you can continue to have fun. Put your hands on screens.
Drag to move. Were you doing that?
Yeah, I was doing that. You can adjust sensitivity in the options menu.
Well, I think you're a little too sensitive, so why don't you get a little less sensitive?
I think you're a little too sensitive.
I think you're sensitive.
I think you are, I don't know what. Oh, look, I got a new... Hey, cool. All right, so basically it's one of these things where if you play it long enough, you are awarded with other options, so you don't have to just keep playing the same level over and over. This actually, I mean, it's. I am intrigued by it. With Beat Buddy HD, where I was stuck in the hi-hat crab land, I can't deal with that. I was doing so well. You guys didn't watch, like, the first half hour where I was like, oh, I'm pretty good at this game. It's kind of fun. These little guys flying through the underground world.
Total destruction.
So we've got Entwined Challenge.
Victory.
We've got the Box Trolls, which is modeled after a movie.
So if you
or maybe a kid you know or familiar with the movie, that might be a good pick. You've got Beat Buddy HD, which is, as you can see, somewhat infuriating. Unless you're just really good at things.
Build some defenses.
In general. And then, of course, Plunder Pirates, which Leo ends up having a pretty good time with.
Yeah.
So, that was our little game roundup of this episode. There
were
so
yours all metal?
Entwined is...
That looks metal.
Beat Buddy, I don't...
No, I doubt
think
it.
...think is.
Yeah, and Plunder Pirates is...
No.
But the other one I showed is not.
I will double check.
By the way, that I don't really know if you'll see the benefit of metal. Well, I guess you do. I mean, but you're really going to see it when you get the new faster processors. So the new iPhone 6, 6 Plus, you would see it. And if Apple announces a new iPad next week, we think they will. It will almost certainly have the AA, and we'll then be able to take advantage of that with metal and give you some really good looking graphics. It should be better, smoother graphics.
Indeed. I'm excited. I hope we get an iPad event next week.
Oh, we will. I think if FreeCode says so.
I know.
John Pachkowski, he's pretty well
connected. I guess, let me rephrase that. I hope we get a really exciting iPad announcement next week. I don't know how exciting it's going to be, but I think
we just told everybody exactly what they're going to announce. I don't think there's anything surprising there. It's Apple Pay.
You feel confident?
It's Yosemite.
You feel confident?
It's updates to the existing two iPads. The only question mark is whether they're going to do this 12.9-inch Pro.
Mm. Yeah, which still is somewhat of an odd product category.
I'm not crazy about the idea.
But then you know what else is?
That's
an iPhone 6 Plus.
That, you know what? That should confirm it, because who would have thought Apple would do a 6 Plus?
Not me!
Yeah. Do you like it?
Starting to come around.
It's not too big for you?
Gonna be honest with you. I've now gotten to the point where... You know, at first, it's still too big.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just getting used to it, you know? Oh, yeah, I can't actually access the home button when I'm holding.
Wow, you have small hands.
Yeah, I know.
Let me see if I can.
I'm getting a little bit of, like, cool, dexterous juggling going on. But I am getting creative with the ways that I
have
use it.
Have you used the double tap to...
Yeah.
And you use that's, that?
Yeah, that was... I actually showed off that tip on i5 last week, and... But in the editing room, Tony and Anthony were like, hey, that's cool.
Thanks for watching our shows, Tony and Anthony.
Oh, just so says the guy who's never seen an episode of anything that I do. But that's okay. You're
we
very
talked
busy.
A little bit about the double tap on everything.
Yeah.
All of the shows.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. But I was at, I'm getting to the point now where I was at this little, like, friend dinner party thing that we do
they
on
like
Sundays.
It, right? You hand that around.
Well, no, it's still, so I'm so used to it now, you know, so I'm, you know, everybody's got their phones out or whatever, you know, and somebody goes, what? Oh my gosh, that's a 6 Plus, let me see. So everyone's passing it around like I've got some alien in my purse. And I'm now getting to the point where I'm getting slightly irritated because, you know, you want to, like, defend the piece of tech that you have. It's like Android people getting all upset about everything.
I'll be honest. I didn't take the 6 Plus. I have both, of course, but I didn't take the 6 Plus to England last week on vacation. Mm. I took the 6, and the 6 was just right. It felt good.
Yeah.
I was able to do a hyperlapse from the double-decker bus.
Nice.
Panoramas. The camera is so good in the 6. It was almost impossible to distinguish the pictures I took with the iPhone, the new iPhone, from the pictures I took with my very expensive, fancy camera. I mean,
yeah.
It really is that good.
Yeah, I would love a better camera than the iPad, frankly. I was taking some low-light photos, you know, kind of candlelight dinner table photos last night.
Everyone
was like,
great.
That's crazy good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not SLR quality, but it's for most people who aren't
pretty
photographers,
good.
It's totally
we
good enough.
We went up to the dome on St. Paul's,
I
the
saw
cathedral.
That photo.
And you want to do a pano when
yeah.
you're up there. And it's so easy to do that with the iPhone. And it was smooth. There it is. It was smooth. It was easy. Is that the one with the iPhone or the one with my camera? I can't even tell. Does it say iPhone there? Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's the Sony. So there, that shows you. That's a $3,000 camera.
Mm.
Now, the iPhone picture, I think, is every bit as good. And frankly, easier. So there.
So there.
I think you got a great camera in that thing.
Hey, quick reminder, we shoot this show live on Mondays, right after Triangulation and right before This Week in Enterprise Tech at about 12:30 Pacific time. PM Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern time. Leo and I love to have you join us live. But of course, if you can't or prefer to watch or listen on demand afterwards, you can always go to twit.tv/IPT. That is where all of our show archives live. You can keep up on past episodes. You get show notes of all the apps that we talk about and the articles that we reference as well. It's a wonderful place to hang out. Well, you were in London last week. Chad and
like
I did some howling.
Yeah.
we had a pretty good time.
Good.
And, you know, the only thing that really sucks is that, because we actually showed off in greater detail third-party keyboards.
I see that, yeah.
And what, you know, how certain keyboards
including
are good.
Including Flexi, Swipe.
GIF keyboard by
I love that.
Riffsy, which is great.
Isn't that hysterical?
It's so good. Yeah. And I know I got a lot of emails that it's pronounced GIF, and I just don't
nope.
like any of
nope.
you people.
Not gonna
so
do it.
Don't
nope.
even bother, because nope. I won't listen.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But the only problem is there was also an app called MyScript where you could actually write out
right.
almost like cursive. And then it would convert it into basically, you know, typed keys. And for whatever reason, a couple of days after that episode, it got pulled from the App Store.
Mm.
The U.S. one, anyway.
Mm.
I don't know why that happens sometimes. I haven't seen anything from that company. Been looking for it.
Have you switched to a third-party keyboard or are you still using the Apple keyboard?
Well, I've got like 6 of them on the iPad right now, so it's a complete mess.
I actually don't feel the need on the iPad as much as I complain about the keyboard on the iPhone. Same keyboard on the iPad doesn't bother me. I guess the keys are big enough. It's a big enough screen. But I use SwiftKey on both my iPhones. I really like SwiftKey. I've loved it for years on Android, and so I was glad to get it on the iPhone.
We also got some notes. Remember when we were trying out the... I don't know what the term is where you draw from key to key.
Yeah, SwiftKey
calls
it flow.
Flow, okay. So we remember, and you were saying it doesn't really work sometimes.
Doesn't work on the iPad at all.
Well, that's the... So, yeah, all right. So last week I was like, I don't know what's going on here. It's still very buggy. iPhone only, not iPad.
Yeah, I think we figured that out on the show, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, gosh.
I think thanks to the chat room.
Had a...
But
momentary lapse of
SwiftKey says
fact.
They will and want to add it, but there's issues with adding it on the iPad.
But why? Tell me why. I want it to work the same way.
It's great.
Consistency.
It's great on the iPhone. Yeah. But even on the iPhone, sometimes it doesn't work for some reason. There's a lot of bugs in iOS 8 with the third-party keyboards. There's just little issues. They're going to resolve. In fact, that's another thing we'll see next week, 8.1, because that's required for Apple Pay. So
yes.
There will be a new iOS as well, I believe, on the 16th. Let's hope this one doesn't crash your LTE.
Yeah, right. Would you like to use your phone? Well,
you know who really brings you this show? The fine folks at Personal Capital.
What do they do, Leo?
I don't know.
Oh, but
no, I do.
That's
I
why
do.
We're here.
I know exactly what they do.
If anyone knows, it's us.
I've been using them for 2 years. Of course, I know. In fact, I met the founder, Bill Harris, on our Triangulation show. And he showed me this at the time, and I said, this is great. I'm going to sign up. It's free. Love that. You sign up. You're entering all your accounts, and suddenly in one page on your iPhone, your iPad, on your desktop computer, You could see where your money is, what investments you have, how they're doing, how if you're overpaying. It will tell you, it has a 401k calculator, figure out if you're investing enough so that you'll be able to live when you get a little bit older.
People can like, I live?
Can I live on what I'm saving? You know, this is valuable stuff.
You know, my mom and I were just talking about this over the weekend. And she's retired and she's got
she knows
her financial life under control.
But she, and she's saying to you, I wish I had done it when I was your age, I bet you. Because that's what I would say.
Well, I mean, I think...
The younger you start, the better off you'll be.
My point is, it's not difficult, but you have to make really smart decisions now.
And this is the program to do it. PersonalCapital.com/iPad today. There tend to be two types of people. There's the iPad app. There tend to be two types of people in the world. Well, there's three. There's people who just don't plan for the future. Of those who have investments, young or old, some people have advisors. They'll have somebody at their bank or somebody at the investment firm who will tell them what to get. And there's always that question, is this a good tip? Is he getting a commission on this? Then there are people, and I'm one of these, who I try to do it all myself. And I use all the information. And both systems are kind of flawed. When you go to Personal Capital, first of all, they'll tell you if you're overpaying for your advisor. If one of the things you can get from them is objective, non-commission-based advice on your investments. But you can also, if you're a do-it-yourself type, get all that information on a screen that you can really see how you're doing. And it just the whole idea is let's make this easy, let's make it quick, but let's make sure we do it. So I invite you to try it free right now, completely secure, completely private, PersonalCapital.com/iPad today. Find out if you're overpaying in fees, how to reduce those fees, get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. Prepare for your future. PersonalCapital.com/iPad today. I know you're going to love it. And we thank them for their support.
We certainly do. Yes, hey, we're not even getting, I'll save it for the email section. Somebody just wrote us. No, we'll just do it now because now I'm talking about it. Okay, so we got an email from Bob who says, if you go to Apple's Maps app on the iPad and search for London, this is timely since you were right there.
I know exactly what he's going to say.
What is he going to say?
How to get it offline. Because I did this.
No.
Oh.
He says, at the top of the screen, you'll now see an option for flyover tour.
Oh.
Touch that, and then you get a 3D flyover.
It's pretty cool.
Of three or four key sites of London.
Yeah.
This also works for San Francisco, New York City, Paris, and Tokyo.
This is in the Apple Maps?
Correct. This is part of,
allow them to use
new
the location.
Cool thing in iOS 8, I guess.
Allow them to do that. Let's go to London. Yeah, I saw this, and I thought, this is really neat.
There you go.
London, England.
Flyover.
3D flyover. Oops. I just made it go away.
What have you done?
I made it go away.
Just go.
Flyover tour.
There you go.
Here we go. Now this is going to load in for us. And there you go.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's kind of cool looking. It looks like a game. There's Buckingham Palace. There you go. That's Queen Victoria.
It does sort of look like a game.
It looks like a video game.
What's the objective? Oh, you're just supposed to watch.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's, you know what? If you've just been there, as I have, you totally will recognize the facade, but you don't usually get to see what's going on inside that courtyard there. That's kind of cool. We saw the changing of the guard.
I've done that as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, they come down the mall.
In fact, you guys took a photo or two of that fountain statue up front, and I was like, oh.
The largest statue of a monarch in all of Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that either.
This is really neat. I mean, obviously, we're just looking at London. I haven't looked at any of the other flyover tours. I feel like we saw something like this for San Francisco in an Apple event way back when we first saw Apple Maps. Right? Didn't we?
Yeah, they announced, as Google did, that they were going to have planes get 3D imaging information so they could do exactly this. But what's curious to me is it doesn't look photographic. There's, I want to say Big Ben. It's not. It's Elizabeth Tower with the bell named Big Ben inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the London Eye is over here.
It
doesn't look like a picture. It looks like a video render, a 3D
But I
render.
Feel like that sort of
here
what...
Here we go. There's the London Eye right there.
It's almost like the effect you get when you tilt shift.
Yeah.
You know, an aerial view of a city, and everything starts to look like
Legos. But
look
at the boats. They don't really kind of look real. And I know, it's kind of odd.
You know what? You are tough to please, man.
I think it's cool.
Look at London. What a mess.
It's a beautiful mess. It's a beautiful mess.
You know, I wouldn't call London the most beautiful city.
It is the largest capital in Europe.
It is a big city. It has some not that cute
you know what I love about
stuff,
it?
But it's just, unbeatable.
It's full of English people.
I love English people.
Love them.
Love them. You know?
This is the famous...
Go meet me at the Chippy and then let's get a couple of pints.
Sea urchin.
Fine with that. What's not to like?
Yep.
All right? You've heard it here. Hey, Bob, thanks for letting us know. I'm glad that I checked my email, which I usually don't do during the show. So there you go. Having attention deficit disorder sometimes work in my advantage.
You know, England is the largest island in the UK.
England is the largest island?
I don't know.
I mean, it's...
I'm giving you...
It shares that island with some other...
There's some Wales and some other
stuff.
There's
some Scotland. What else?
I don't count Scotland.
Yeah, that's it, right? That's just the three, right? Yeah, because then you got the
Wales,
the two Ireland,
and then you got Orkney, Little Orkney, the Jersey Islands.
Right. Oh, what about Shetland? Shetland is Scotland, right?
I don't know.
I think it is.
It's a pony.
No, well, it's a pony that originated in Shetland, but no, I think Shetland is part of Scotland because when Scotland was thinking about going independent, they like a public radio show
so
that I was
do
listening
with,
to.
With the ponies?
Oh my God! Look at
what do we do with the ponies?
I can't even take it.
Oh, let's not forget Ireland.
I didn't. I talked
about Republic
of
Ireland.
Right? Yes. I don't know, man. What a crazy place they are. You know, imperial craziness. God love ya. Hey, so do you know that you can check the activation lock status on an iOS device?
This is new, and I love this idea.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's good for security. Let's say that you come in contact with, you know, an iPad or an iPhone. Maybe, you know, somebody's selling it to you, or you find it, and you're trying to figure out.
Is this legit?
Yeah, is this legit? Is this connected to some sort of an Apple ID? Yeah, if you go to iCloud.com/activation lock, you can enter in the, what's the IMEI?
It's just some number.
Well, but I mean, I understand how to check for a serial number.
What does it stand for?
Well, I you know, as far as iDevice locators, it's like I know of a serial number or a UDID.
All smartphones have an IMEI.
Okay, so it's some universal thing.
Yeah, it's unique. I'm not sure what it stands for.
I'm not sure how to search for it.
Well, as you saw, you could see it there in the about section. You won't have an IMEI, I don't think, if you don't have a cell connection.
Okay.
For instance, I don't think I have an IMEI on this Wi-Fi iPad.
Because there's no, you don't have a data plan.
Right.
All right. Well.
But if you go in the About section, see, I have a MAC address, but I don't have an IMEI. That's unique to cell phones. It has something to do with the radio, I guess.
Well, let's see if I've got one, because I've got a data plan here on
it. You should have an IMEI.
All right. Let's look. Yep. There it is. It is long and convoluted, but there it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the International Model of Education Association.
Brian, did you want to show that? Thank you. There you go. That's where you check. It's in the About
International
section under General.
Mobile Educational Initiative. It is the International Mobile Station Equipment Identity.
Ah, okay.
Which actually is actually IMSEI.
So if you were, again, wondering if this came from somewhere, even if you just found an iPad or an iPhone, you're just kind of like, let's see who this is connected to. Even if, let's say, it wasn't like a stolen situation, but somebody was still, you know, their account, their Apple ID was still connected to a device, that could be problematic as well, so...
Yeah, well, in fact, I think now, thanks to the kill switch, if you buy that phone, then it was a stolen phone, you'll never be able to use it, right? Because you can't activate it again. That's the activation lock. So it would behoove you before you buy an iPhone or any device
to look,
to check and see if it's pre-owned,
exactly, check
or
it out.
Stolen.
And this, of course, is something that you can check, you know, in a browser. So you don't need to check it on the device. In fact, in many cases, that wouldn't work anyway. So Adobe has launched a whole new suite of Adobe apps. Did you see that news this morning? Capture, new Photoshop, new Lightroom, new Illustrator, new Premiere, all iOS apps. In the case of Photoshop, there are several. You know what I thought we would do?
What would we do?
Usually, in any given episode of iPad Today,
we
never really know what we're going to talk about the following week, and I thought maybe we could give ourselves some time to play with these apps, and this could be our theme for next Monday.
Well, I use Lightroom all the time, and I do see, in fact, that I got the version 1.2 yesterday, Or actually, today, I think it just came across.
Yeah, so I think it's this morning.
Along with new versions of Microsoft Office and Google Drive. So that's a big update this morning.
Yeah.
Good. No, I'll be glad. I think we should do that next week.
Good.
I'd love to do that.
It's settled. So everybody, well.
They're free, either, which is nice.
Yeah, either try them out yourself or let us do it. And then we'll tell you which ones are the cool ones. Good times for Adobe. It's starting to confuse me a little bit. In fact, I went into the App Store and just said, all right, well, if I'm searching for, let's just go ahead and search for, you can see I've got all these weird keyboards now. It's like, I just want a normal keyboard where I can type in normal words. But if you just go ahead and say, like, okay, let's search for Adobe, for example, you see some of the apps that I already have downloaded, but then Adobe Premiere, Adobe Photoshop Mix, Adobe Illustrator Line, Adobe Shape CC Capture. You know, there's a lot of them. Yeah, Photoshop Sketch, Illustrator Draw. So,
criminy.
Yeah, I know.
There's Lightroom.
Yeah, it's kind of.
And
nuts.
It looks like they're all free, but of course, that's a little deceptive because for many of these, you have to have a
Creative Cloud subscription.
That's right.
Yeah. So the apps are free, but
to use them, you might need a little bit more.
Exactly. So that's a little bit of a looking ahead to next week.
We'll figure out who does what. I dibs Lightroom. But
take
you can take any of the others.
You go ahead and take
we'll split it.
It's
it right
fine
down the middle.
With me. Should we talk about Hollywood for a moment?
My favorite place.
It's mine, too.
It's the largest island in Western America.
It's an island of sorts, in a way, as far as mentality goes.
A company town, they call it.
You know, I've never had a problem with Hollywood. People say, oh, God, jeez.
Now, see, there's two things. There's the geographic entity called Hollywood, which is a small town within greater Los Angeles area. But then there's the cultural concept of Hollywood. Which of those two
are you referring to? I don't think anybody has a problem with Hollywood the town. It's what it represents.
Hollywood.
And the people inside it.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, I've always found it to be, it's fun. Fast moving. You got a lot of creatives.
I love the movies.
You got some douches too. But you have that in any industry. Certainly tech.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean to look at you just then.
Why didn't you look at me?
I'm looking at myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, so Hollywood. So you know how Walter Isaacson, I almost called him Isaacson. Walter Isaacson wrote the Steve Jobs biography.
Yes.
And then.
And the Einstein biography. He's a great biographer, but he's got a new one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on innovators.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I have not read that. That's something I should listen
to.
Get
your Audible fired up.
Well, the Steve Jobs biography is being made into a movie.
Yes.
There were a variety of directors that were supposedly attached to it.
Aaron Sorkin's writing it. Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin's writing it. Now it's Danny Boyle.
Who's directing it. Of course, everybody knows Danny Boyle from the 2010 Olympics opening show.
Also Slumdog Millionaire.
And Slumdog Millionaire.
And also, so I'm going to go ahead and go full circle on Hollywood. The story that comes from the Hollywood Reporter is that Leonardo DiCaprio apparently was considered.
He'd be a great Jobs.
See, I can't imagine why that would work. How is Leonardo? Now, I like Leonardo DiCaprio quite a bit. By the way, he's not going to play Steve Jobs, so if for some reason this upsets
you.
He said
no.
It was sort of like first it was a conflict because he had signed on to another movie, but now he's just out altogether. So it's not him. But to me, he is not Steve Jobs. I don't understand. I mean, I guess he can get into character.
Who do you see as Steve Jobs?
Not Ashton Kutcher.
No, we already saw him as Steve Jobs.
But I didn't think that worked.
I think actually Leo would be a great choice. I mean, he's a great actor.
Well, first of all, he doesn't look like him. He's close enough.
I guess
you could throw in some brown contacts and a sweatshirt or a turtleneck anyway.
You're not going to get somebody who's going to look exactly. And you don't even want somebody to look exactly like him. That's a blind alley. You want somebody who's a great actor who can capture the personality. And Steve's personality was huge. It was a conflict in many ways. A guy who could be incredibly warm and wonderful at one moment and just a terror at another moment. Mm. He passed away exactly 3 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
And October 5th, 2011. And I think a challenge and a great role for an actor. I guess I would think Leo would want to play that role because what a role of a lifetime. If you can really capture the nuances and the complexity of that guy. It's a tough thing. Now, It may also be a script thing. You might say, well, yes, all of that's true, but Aaron Sorkin didn't write it that way. I have some misgivings. I love Aaron Sorkin as a writer, but he doesn't love technology very much. He's always referring to bloggers as guys in their basement with their jammies.
And I'm sorry. I think just because I dislike the show Newsroom so much, but I'm over that whole style. Aaron Sorkin
fast talking,
style thing.
Moving
it's
the camera.
It's all the same. I need something new.
Now, Danny Boyle won't do that with it.
Danny Boyle's a great director. Yeah. I'm excited for the movie.
Who would you cast?
Okay, so why can't I think of his name right now? He's the latest Batman. Who's the latest Batman?
Christian Bale?
Christian Bale could be a good Steve Jobs.
Christian Bale, because he
transforms.
And he's volatile.
And he kind of looks like him. I know you think that that's not necessary, but I think it...
I think he'd be great.
I'm
with you.
Hollywood, listen up.
How about the guy who was in Train Spotting? Or Strain Potting?
The Scottish guy?
Ewan McGregor, is that his name?
He's not a Steve Jobs.
I like Bale.
I think that that's a good idea, right?
And, you know, one of the things that plays right into that is the recorded blow-up he had at the stagehand and wandered through his eyeline during the...
You're an amateur!
Yeah, it was great. That's a Steve Jobs moment.
It is. Steve Jobs.
Christian Bale is Steve Jobs.
All right. Well, if you mess this up, then consider yourselves...
Casting's big on this one.
Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah. Well... It's the director, it's the screenwriter. They got that already. So this third part, very important. Who's going to play Woz?
I don't know. That's a good question. Who should it be? It should be...
Of the two, I know knew Steve a little bit, but I know Woz pretty well. And it's, you know what? This is the problem. If you're actually close to it, you won't be happy with the casting because it's not the right
person. But who would I don't know.
Kevin Smith. That's a great choice from Booksworm in our chat room. Kevin Smith. Silent Bob.
It's
perfect.
I think we're going to the likeness. But
anyone big and hairy would be fine, frankly.
Yeah, a lot of them.
You got a beard.
Grow a beard,
some hair.
You can be Woz.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you hear from Apple Insider, anyway, that Apple's next generation of the iOS remote app... might mimic the GUI of the Apple TV itself.
That should.
Well, yeah.
The remote app, you know, is funny because...
It's a little...
First, it looks like iTunes.
Yeah.
And then you press the button that says, okay, now give me the remote control. Mm-hmm. And it's just this... It's ugly. It's a screen and I don't like it.
You know, it's funny.
I complain
a lot that my Apple TV remote is always like falling between my couch cushions. I lose it.
I lose it all the time.
All the time.
All the
it's
time.
Just, you know, it's
like mine is lost right now.
Yeah, it's comical because it's so small and thin and, you know, it works against you. However, and every once in a while I'll complain about that and I get this barrage of people saying, why don't you just use the remote app? And I'm kind of with you. It works fine, but somehow it seems.
It's weird.
It's like, it's not simple enough.
If it duplicated the UI.
That would make sense.
That'd be great. Then it'd be a touch UI of the Apple TV.
Yeah,
I want to go there.
You just press your HBO
I
Go app.
I like it.
I like that.
In fact, why didn't they do that?
Well, because...
Then they'd have to update the app every time they update the Apple TV, maybe.
But they don't update the Apple TV all that much. So what's the problem?
They updated the app for a long time, not at all. Remember, it was like 2 years between updates on that thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hey, did you get your Apple TV to work, by the way? I remember a couple weeks ago you said that it was not.
But I was gone for a while and I didn't try again. Okay. I want to get the update that adds Beats Music and some stuff. But I think I have to reboot it is what I realized as I was thinking. I should just... That's the universal sign for reboot it. I need to unplug it, wait 10 seconds and plug it back in and I think it'll probably work.
You know, speaking of content, and you didn't ask, but...
What about content?
On Amazon, you know how Amazon is getting into the original programming game?
Yeah.
A la Netflix.
Right.
Or HBO or whatever.
Yep.
There's this new series called Transparent.
That everybody's raving about.
I watched it. It's very good.
I love him.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
10 episode first season.
Hank Kingsley.
You get him. Hank Kingsley?
Hey now! That's another
role.
Oh,
that's, yeah, right. Okay.
He played Hank Kingsley.
Well, because I always forget his
I can't remember his name either.
Anyway, it's a really, really good show. But, of course, I'm on my Apple TV being like, where's my Amazon app?
Yeah, it's not
there. And then
there.
I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Not there.
Apple doesn't do that for me. I had
Very
to switch over to my Roku.
You have a Roku, though.
I do.
I think
yeah.
if you have a Roku and an Apple TV, you've got everything. There's enough
that's
overlap.
All I ever need.
You really pretty much have everything. Yeah.
But you can
Speaking of,
watch it on your Amazon app on your iPad.
Right.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it just doesn't have an Apple TV app.
It's not on the Apple TV.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a new series, it's not bad. Not at all.
Speaking of Beats.
Yeah.
Did you see that the NFL has made a deal? You probably noticed this. For many years, they had the big headphones the coaches
Motorola.
Were wearing was in Motorola.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then starting this year, they say Bose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently part of the deal is that no football player may wear Beats headphones within 90 minutes of the game on camera, anywhere they'd be seen on camera. And, of course, many of the players in the NFL, including our own quarterback.
What?
Colin Kaepernick has a deal with Beats for he's in their ads. So they're going to have to strip off Colin's headphones and make him wear Bose headphones when he comes to the ball yard.
When I know a lot of players.
They love the Beats.
In a variety of sports. Like, they want to listen to music right up until, you know, the last possible moment. Kind of, like, get you in the mood for the game. Olympians do that, too. A lot. In fact, there was like a documentary.
Oh, yeah.
The music
I
that you
that.
Want to listen to before.
Before every show, I put on my Beats headphones.
You get into game
and
time.
And I listen to Für Elise.
Yeah.
That just really gets me in the game mind.
Yeah. I can feel that, your energy. Your Für Elise energy right now. It's so German.
German. It's German.
Okay, well, good. Speaking of listening.
I think
what
I
other
want,
things can we
you know,
listen to?
If, actually, really, if I were gearing up for a show, I'd be listening to Audible, really.
Well, like the Steve Jobs biography.
Yeah.
You want to strive for greatness.
Right.
You got to be a jerk sometimes.
I actually loved that, and that's how I listened to it. Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today... you will note that you can sign up for the Gold account, which is going to give you a free book. Free in the sense that you're going to sign up for that monthly subscription, but the first month is free. And if you cancel any time in that first month, you won't pay anything. By the way, the book will be yours to keep. Brian, see if you can find Walter Isaacson's newest. I can't remember the name, something with Innovators. And I think I know they have it on Audible.com. But that's nonfiction. They also great fiction. Classics. You know, I was listening to Great Expectations as I wandered the streets of London. There it is, right there. The Innovators. How a group of hackers, geniuses, and geeks created the digital revolution. 17 hours. It could be yours absolutely free. The thing about Audible is you can do it when you're doing something else. So in your car, you have a commute from hell, Sarah Lane. You should be listening to Audible. You get 2 hours of reading every single day.
Sometimes it's podcasts, but the rest of the time it's Audible.
Absolutely. If you do housework, if you go to the gym. I was on the treadmill this morning listening to my book. I'm just about done with The Goldfinch. It's taken me a long time. That's a long book, but I loves it. Audiblepodcast.com/iPad today puts reading back in your life, puts books back in your life. I know for me, I didn't have time to read until I found Audible, and then that changed everything. I think you're going to love it. But you know what? It's no risk. Just try it for a month free. Audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. We thank them for their support of our show.
All right. I got a little riddle for all of you.
Riddle me this.
I will. Okay. So when you are in your... you're in the App Store app, and you go to your purchased apps. Which, you know, that's a list of all the apps that you have previously bought. Well, so last week we got a tip from a viewer that worked quite fine. For whatever reason, let's say that I'm like, well, I don't really want anyone to know that I downloaded iDance, okay? Or I don't want to see it. Okay, so you go ahead and swipe to the left.
Oh, that's nice.
And you say hide. iDance is now hidden. Well, Jared wrote in and said, you mentioned last week how to hide apps on iOS 8, but how do you unhide them? If then they're no longer appearing in the purchase section.
Right.
Well, now I, of course, remember that I just did that. It was iDance. There you go. I searched for it, and it's back, and obviously it's still installed. And you go ahead and, you know, get more information on it, or you go ahead and open the app. Actually, this app, remember, it kept crashing on us, and we right. weren't even really able to look at it. Oh, now it works. Great. Wonderful. 2 weeks later. But but in the app store itself, I get Jared's question, right? Because you can hide it then from this view as well. But there's
now
no,
what do you do?
Yeah, but there's no...
How do you bring it back?
So, again, you can keep searching for it, and it keeps showing up. But I don't know. You can't
hide it with.
You can't unhide.
Hide it with caution, with care.
Yeah, because if you hide enough things, and for whatever reason, if
right.
you just want to, you know,
I'll tell you
the
what
app
you should
doesn't
hide.
Go anywhere.
You should hide apps that are superannuated. They're out of date. They're no longer updated. You don't use. You know, you'll never want them again. There's
yeah.
so many apps in the App Store that have just been abandoned. So that would be appropriate to hide those. But I would be careful about being overzealous at hiding.
Well,
because you can't, then they're gone.
You know,
do they get updated if they're hidden?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're literally just not shown in your purchase section.
Right.
So anyway, Chad and I last week were like, huh, I guess that could be kind of helpful.
Yeah.
But I think Jared's question is more interesting, and I don't know the answer, is, well, how do you unhide? And how helpful is it really once something's hidden, because if you don't remember the specific name of the app, which often I don't, where I'm like, there was this cool game where I was doing this thing with my thumbs. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know what it is.
Then I don't know how to look for it for whatever reason I've hidden it. So if
right.
anybody, Tyrol says you can unhide them in iTunes, but
that
would mean that you're connected to your computer. I don't want to do that. That's not a good solution. Connect it to your computer and do everything in iTunes. I don't like that.
Well, that's
very much.
Often the answer to a lot of things.
I know. It's true. Yeah. You know, there's, speaking of iTunes, we'll get to another issue in just a moment. But we got another email from Tony. Tony from across the pond. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Hello. He says, hey, Sarah and Leo, did you notice that PhotoStream no longer exists in the iPad Photos app?
That's right.
Once you upgrade to iOS 8. It's all merged into one album now called Recently Added. This is rather frustrating, though, as now everything is mixed up from other devices without any clear demarcation. In the long run, it could be useful, but I liked the option of knowing what came from which device for sorting and transfer purposes via PhotoStream, the album. What do you think? You know, it's funny. So I was just having a conversation about PhotoStream with my mom over the weekend, and she's got an issue that I don't really understand either, but Tony's right. At first, I opened my photo app, and I was like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just...
Well, we still have sharing, don't we?
You've got photos here, right?
Yeah.
You've got shared albums, but
yeah.
that's not PhotoStream. These are albums that I decided to... this is like an album I decided to share
with
friends.
Individual people.
Yeah, yeah. We went on vacation. But then albums, he's right. We've got Recently Added.
I think Apple's abandoned PhotoStream.
Yeah, we've got Recently Added, which is, you know, things that were recently added, but they are sort of out of order. For example, I took this photo, that was just a stupid photo that, you know, didn't go anywhere. That's from our green screen set, which I haven't been in since last Tuesday. I took this photo on Friday.
So it's just a random
So it's like,
collection.
What's going on? I took this photo yesterday because I was, that's a Twitter
that?
Building.
It's not even in order.
I don't, so Tony's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on here. They are recently added, but they're not even chronological. And PhotoStream is all supposed to be stuff that I didn't take on my iPad that was connected via iCloud. What is happening?
What is happening?
What's happening? And how are we
Well, there is
to...
a chronological view. You're looking at the album view. If you go to the photos view,
oh,
it is right. totally chronological.
But...
at that point, in fact, whoops, I did the geography instead of...
But...
now it's totally chronological.
Okay.
So you were looking at albums, but you're but no, I agree with you. Recently Added should be in chronological order. I don't know why it's not.
Also, Photos now includes PhotoStream photos, which is not a bad thing necessarily.
Right.
But it is confusing. None of the photos in my Photos app, because I haven't taken a picture on my iPad in a while.
You mean your camera roll?
Well, it's the photo. It's not
camera
called camera
gone.
Roll anymore.
Yeah, now it's gone.
Like, all of these photos were taken with my iPhone, not
right.
this iPad.
It's all
but that's
confusing.
Just in my moments that yeah. are in my collections.
Somebody right. in the chat room is saying, and I hope this is true, that iOS 8.1 will bring both the camera roll and PhotoStream back. If it is, that's a retrenching from Apple, which didn't want to have those anymore, but people were complaining. I think there's no reason not to have them. It really, I didn't mind the camera loss of camera roll. I understood the difference.
Yeah.
But PhotoStream is a functionality that's been taken out.
That exactly. It's like name it whatever you want to name it if it yeah. makes it make
apparently
more sense.
They are in the beta of 8.1. They're back, so I think Apple's realized it made a mistake.
All right. Well, that's Scooter X says 8.1 has camera roll again, which is are you getting a phone call?
I am. I'm
would
sorry.
You like,
about
would
that.
You like to answer?
No, I don't. Want
is it?
That.
It's not serious.
No. It's,
okay.
It's, semi-serious.
Oh, would you like
it's
to?
It's Kristen Schaal.
I don't know who that is.
She's semi-serious.
Okay.
No, you may continue.
All right, fine. So here's a stumper. It's sort of an Ask Leo that's a stumper.
Yeah.
I'm sort of asking you, actually, because this was one of these tech support questions. So I'm at my mom's over the weekend, right? And she says she takes pictures on her iPhone 5. And she's got an iPad. I think it's like an iPad 2. And she says, now why do I take photos on my phone and then I can see them through PhotoStream on the iPad and then, but then I can't see them on my phone? And I was like, well, that's crazy.
No, she should be.
Something's
able to see,
wrong.
Unless she deleted
then
them.
She says, well, what I do is I periodically get the photos off of my phone I get put them onto.
When you do it on iPhoto, there's a button at the end of the import that says, now would you like me to delete those off the phone? Obviously, she's saying yes.
However, so I'm like, Mom, what you're doing is you're moving the originating
right.
photos. You still have your photo stream on your iPad. But then she says, well, why then can't I use photo stream to then selectively bring back photos onto my phone? And I said, well, it doesn't work that way. And she said, but why? Because it's connected through an iCloud account. So what is the point of a cloud if you can't get the photos back from the cloud where they stay? And I think the answer is iCloud Drive, which she hasn't set up yet.
Don't.
Well, that's what I told her.
That
because
would be an error
because
of
it's
judgment.
Not, because it's not ready.
It's not ready.
But that's what iCloud
Yosemite
Drive
comes out.
Will do.
I don't. You know.
Isn't it?
You're
I
asking
about
me.
This.
I don't understand what Apple's up to at all.
I can't ask you.
I was mad.
What
I was mad that
have.
they deleted all the stuff I had done in iPhoto. Mm. They have decided to really rejigger how they treat photos.
Yeah.
They've kind of abandoned the photo stream model. Yeah. I can understand why. I think people were kind of inadvertently taking photos that they didn't want to give to other people, and they were appearing in, you know, let's be honest. You take a photo of your butt, and it appears on your screensaver on your Apple TV, or worse, your grandmother's screensaver on your Apple TV. You're not very happy about that. And
yeah.
I think that kind of thing happened a lot accidentally with photo stream. And so I think Apple probably said, you know, this accidental sharing has got to stop. We're going to rethink this whole thing. In the process, they've completely changed it.
They've messed some things up.
Well, and what they've done in other situations, as they're doing now with 8.1, is they've taken stuff out, and then they've rethought it and slowly put it back. Remember, they've been doing the same thing with iWork. They're definitely doing that with iPhotos and Photos. They've taken stuff out, but then they'll kind of, in a thoughtful way, I hope, one hopes, bring it back. I don't want to make excuses for Apple. It drives me nuts, too. But
in a perfect world, iCloud Drive, once it is compatible with,
might do
you
that,
know, somebody,
yes.
It's sort of like, it's like Google Drive, right? If something's up there, then you bring it down.
Right.
Bring it down. You bring your media, your data, whatever, down to whatever device you want because it's in that, you know, little shared cloud.
And Jeff Needles is pointing out they are going to have an iCloud photo library.
Well, that
we just have to wait and see what Apple does.
iCloud photo library will be the new photo stream,
right?
So hold your horses, have a drink,
they'll figure it out,
and maybe we'll hopefully get information about this next week.
We'll figure it out.
All right, we'll figure it out. So, Mom, everything's gonna be okay, just not today. We got an email from Jeff who says, you mentioned third party keyboards last week, that was our theme. Here's a keyboard to replace the built-in emoji keyboard, which, by the way, isn't... Well, it is built-in. Yeah, that's true. You have to enable it, though. Jeff says, I've been using it for a little while, and I like how it organizes the emojis more intuitively than the built-in emoji keyboard. It works with both the iPhone and the iPad running on iOS 8.
Have you memorized where your emojis are by now?
Not really.
No?
No. You know what I do?
You do a lot of seeking?
Oh, I just do a lot of... all right, so let's get to a place where... Okay, so this is the regular...
So pop up the emoji keyboard
app, right? So I'll go ahead and click
hit the
and
globe.
Hold, and I go ahead and say...
Oh, you do have a lot of keyboards.
Emoji. So Here, yeah, I know. Well, because I was testing a bunch of them. So here's the regular emoji keyboard. Recently used are all of the emojis that I, you know, I kind of use the most. So that's where you get the little clock icon. But then, you know, okay, so faces. But then flowers, like, well, when I think of flowers, I don't think of the moon. Yeah,
fruits, vegetables, flowers,
when I look at a
chickens.
Bell, I don't think of
a general things. That's the
or
things.
Or a cigarette.
It's the things category.
When I look at a car, I don't think of the American flag. Well, I guess I kind of do. When I look at a car, I don't think of
But see, I know where all that stuff is. If you use emojis after a while, you can go right to it.
When I look at the, you know.
These are key cap kind of things.
When I look at the question mark, I don't think of SOS. Or a variety of things I can't read, or my astrological sign.
Would it help you if instead of flower, bell, and car, you thought of it as, you know, living things, dead things?
No, it doesn't. Because all I'm trying to do is text something funny to my friends, right?
So you just don't do it enough. If you did it enough, you'd know right where to go.
Well, I think
you got a better way?
This is the Emoji Plus. So
this just confuses me.
It's actually called Emoji Plus Plus, and as Jeff notes,
everything is on the old one. Where is everything on this one?
All right.
You still have to learn a.
Everybody, chill. All right, so. Here is the regular emoji
faces,
which, by the way, are all the same. You're not getting different emojis.
No, it's just. Look on the right. There's some more categorization. Is that right?
Well, yeah. So these are all the emojis that you have to choose from.
Every
all
emoji ever.
So you go ahead and scroll. It's one big area.
One big happy emoji.
But then it also says like you got faces, or you've got, you know, your top hat clothing type thing. You've got your love related stuff.
This is for the emoji amateur. The person who doesn't put enough time into the emoji.
Right.
So that they know where their emojis live.
Or the person who puts more time into their emojis. And here's why I say that. Because you've got that clock icon for stuff that's recently used, right?
Yeah.
Recently used doesn't necessarily mean your favorites. It means what you used most recently. So you can do, well, I actually haven't used this keyboard. So recently used. Or from your emoji section, let's say that I'm like, I love that guy with a funny hat. If you just click and hold, then it becomes part of your favorites.
Without actually using it. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So recently used and liking are two different things.
Favorites.
Which I actually kind of like.
No, I think that's a good
And this was, it was free. Of course, what you have to do is go into your settings. Under general, you go down.
You turn off the old emoji keyboard.
Well, I didn't actually, but
you could.
Yeah, you've got. So there's my native emoji keyboard.
Here's a good dog tip, by the way.
Plus.
Hit edit, and you can rearrange and delete.
Not
keyboards.
Just that, but you can go. Meow,
right.
Swipe,
right.
Swipe. You know, I'm actually going to delete my stack because I know that it's now out of the App Store, and I don't want to be some elitist. Who uses a third-party keyboard that nobody else has.
Right.
Thanks, Jeff. I like Emoji Plus Plus.
You have to search
for the company, CrossForward Consulting, or else you're just going to get a bunch of gibberish in the App Store. So definitely check our show notes because we'll have the correct link in there.
When you use SwiftKey, this on Android, SwiftKey does this. When you type, like if I type Leo, it offers as a correction, one of the corrections it offers is the emoji for the sun sign Leo.
Oh.
Or if I type cake,
that's funny.
It offers as one of the auto types. I wonder if it does that on iOS. Android.
L-E-O.
And it doesn't. That's a nice feature. Then you can, if you can't remember an emoji, but you want to get a big pile of poo.
Like ha ha.
Yeah.
See, what's funny is that on the predictive text for the native keyboard, let's go back to that.
Oh, yeah, there's the GIF keyboard. I love that.
See, I'm on a keyboards, man. If I say, ha ha.
Ha
ha. That didn't work.
Have at you.
Interesting. Leo. Yeah, see, because it's all based on what I've already used, right?
Here's how it looks on Android. So I typed Leo. And then I got the sun sign for Leo as one of the autocorrect.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was kind of neat. You just type that.
You're almost never going to be like, yes, that's what I meant. But it's interesting.
If I type poo, no, I don't get anything. Sushi? It's funny. Yeah, there's some. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's interesting.
So that's SwiftKey. I guess it doesn't. They could do it. Maybe they will in the future update.
We love hearing from all of you. We love app tips and suggestions and questions, weird stuff that happens in iOS, all that good stuff from all of our iPad Today viewers and listeners. You can write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 757-504-IPAD is the number.
Is the number.
You can send us a video. It can be questions, comments, feedback. All that stuff is okay with us.
You know, if we've got this event coming up on the 16th, yes, now would be a good time, perhaps, not to sell your iPad, because you don't want to sell it now, but to get a quote for it. Because I can tell you, the value of the iPad is definitely going to go down when a new one is announced. So you want to get the maximum value. Get a quote now. This is a nice thing that Gazelle will do for you. Those quotes are good for 30 days. You lock them in right now. And even though the price will almost certainly tumble after the Apple announcement, you're still going to get the price that you lock in today. So, and it's not a commitment. So even if you don't know that you want the new iPad, but you want to lock in the price on the old one just in case, do it. Look at that. There's an iPad Air 64 gig Wi-Fi, $285. This is gazelle.com. They buy used electronics, iPads, iPhones, but also phones from Samsung, even BlackBerry. They'll buy tablets from, of course, Apple, but also from Microsoft and Samsung. They give you top dollar. They give you 30 days, which is really, really handy. They'll even buy broken iPads and broken iPhones, which is really nice. So once you're done, you're going to, you know, when you say, oh, the new iPad came out, you order it, it's arrived, you've transferred your data over. Now you're ready. You say, okay, check out, and they will send you a box, prepaid postage. You don't have to pay the postage. You send it to them. They turn it around fast. Sometimes they even increase the offer. We had an iPhone 4 that we sent to Gazelle last week. They had quoted us $30.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us $120.
What?
I was stunned. They said, you know, I can't. I don't know. Lisa did. She got the wrong amount of memory or something. I've never heard of a company doing this. You know, legally, they're only obligated to give us $30. But they said, no, it's worth more. Plus, if you forget to wipe the data, they'll wipe the data for you. You can get a cash payout through PayPal. You can get a check, of course, mailed to you. But they can also do Amazon gift cards. That's what we always get because the Amazon gift cards, they bump by 5%. So I love Gazelle. You know, 9 out of every 10 Gazelle customers say they have an excellent experience. People like me. And I hear from people tweeting me all the time saying things like that. It's just amazing. A million and a half trade-ins worth $100 million. And if you haven't tried Gazelle, now's a good time to at least get yourself a quote. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. And we thank them so much for their support of iPad Today. Yes, they'll buy BlackBerries. I'm getting ready. You know, I have an act I do after every iPad Today. They fire me out of a cannon.
Really?
It's the new way I get home. It's a lot faster commute.
Well, I didn't think you lived so far away.
I don't. If I did, I wouldn't be able to be fired out of a cannon.
I see. So it's perfect for this small town.
This provides very little protection. You look at you. You just look adorable there in that.
Well, thank you. I'm a paper
boy. Deerstalker cap.
Yeah.
No, you're Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I think we already went through this a few weeks ago.
Paper boy.
Don't I look right? Hi, read all about it.
No. That's a deerstalker.
I'm a paper kid.
No, see, there's a bill in the back, too. That makes it a deerstalker. It's a bill in the front and the back. That's Sherlock Holmes.
Hey, did you hear? Hoover's out.
Hoover's out.
I don't know. I've been watching this Roosevelt documentary. And
Hoover's out. What do we travel back to 1928?
Getting everybody mixed
Hoover's
up.
Hoover's out? When did that happen?
I don't know.
He's not still the president?
Yeah, read all about it. 10 cents, please.
Wrong way, Grabowski here. So what? We wear these silly hats as a way of signifying
that we are ready to rock. With one iPad app chosen by myself and Leo that we think is awesome and new, haven't talked about it before on the show, and you need to have. The app of my choosing this week is called Longform. Remember at the beginning of the show? You know, your hat could be something Canon-like or something that maybe belongs in a basement on Pulp Fiction. It's a little borderline, if you ask me.
Are you saying it's missing the ball gag? Is that what you're saying?
It's skimpy.
No, this is an old-time football helmet. And Actually, I just received word that thanks to a new endorsement deal that the NFL has made with Brownie Caps, these are the new helmets that the NFL will be wearing.
Mm.
Apparently, I have. Wait a minute, just bring that over here, Jeff. Apparently, for some reason, they took the label off, and it is actually, ladies and gentlemen, an aviator hat.
Yeah, you look like Snoopy.
Oh. I didn't wear the full accoutrement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think?
Yeah, you look really good. Very steampunk. It's almost more basement-y. It's like an underground sex club of some kind, you know, where you could get sprayed with something.
Where the hell do you go at night?
Just wander around the city. And its streets. Right.
Let's try our app, Cap.
Let's do it. Okay, so this app is called Long Form, and the whole idea is that the iPad is perfect for more long form reading. Now, this is a collection of longer form essays, articles, that sort of thing. As you can see, this one is coming from NY Books, New York Books. So that's where it started from. This is a staff pick. Zadie Smith, who's actually a really great author. Now, she. As you can see, and this looks just like a website, really. So it's more of a collection of articles, and again, long form stuff that you can read when you've got a little bit more time, rather than, you know, all of this sort of like quick. Let's summarize the news. Give me everything in a one or two paragraph synopsis. Show me a couple pictures. This is like the antithesis of that. And a lot of us, you know, you kind of want to get lost in a story here and there. As you can see, this particular essay is quite long, long form. So I can go ahead and say, yeah, I really liked that. I'm not connected to my account right now because I was playing around with this on another device earlier. You can, of course, save it. You can, yes, fine. Sorry, you understand what's going on here. I'm not going to do that right now. But all of this stuff is, obviously, you can change the text. Maybe you're like, this looks great, but that's actually a little bit small for me. You can go ahead and change the font. You can bookmark this for later. You can like it, which, of course, tells the app a little bit more about what you'd like to see in the future, and then, of course, share with folks. So these are staff picks. You can follow certain people, publishers and writers. Let's say Zadie Smith, who had written the article that I just saw. You know, if I'm a big enough fan, it's like, I want to read the stuff that Zadie Smith is putting out onto the internet. But it might be published in a variety of different journals and newspapers or
they
magazines,
aggregate
that sort of
this
thing.
All for you.
It's an aggregator for sure. Again, I was looking at staff picks. I can go ahead and explore.
And is this free?
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely free.
So it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Long form.
What's neat is that I can say, well, you know, I'm interested in, let's say, foreign policy, you know, as a concept. Or I like stuff from The Verge. Or Mother
now,
Jones,
I see they
the
have New Yorker.
Yorker.
Is it only the free stuff The New Yorker puts on the web? Or is this include content that you would only get as a subscriber? I guess, I don't know.
This is...
Because it is free, right? There's no in-app purchases or...
Yeah, no, it's free. It's free.
This looks like the web. So this must be this... Because so certain amount of the content in New Yorker is free on the web.
Yes.
Some of it is subscriber only. This must be the free stuff.
Right, exactly. You're getting... You know, you're not circumventing something and upsetting the New Yorker. This is just a really interesting way to say, oh, okay, I'd really like to follow the writer, Dana Boyd, who we've actually interviewed on Triangulation, haven't
Love
we?
Love Dana.
Yeah, so there you go. Dana with a small D, though. I guess that's just, you know...
Small D and B.
Yeah,
She writes for Medium. A lot, which is free, mm-hmm. and you could always go to Medium and read her stuff, but this mm-hmm. aggregates it all, which is nice.
You can see The Closed Mind of Richard Dawkins. That is popular right now. Comes from the newrepublic.com, and so on. So what's nice about this, and as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, you are basically just aggregating articles that already exist. Oh, gosh,
why
sorry.
Why would you want long articles?
Well, because...
I mean, you're, like, actively seeking long articles.
Because often the long-form version of a story is...
You like it.
Well, it's not just that I like it. It's that that's, you know, where you get definitive information right. and journalists who have talked to people and dug deeper and
right.
you know, it's a more fleshed out version.
It is an art form. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that we, many of us, are not only used to but encouraged... to just read little versions of everything. You know,
right.
what's the story? You know, like saved you a click, the Twitter account, right? Like, don't click into anything.
Right. Sometimes you want something with some meat on the bones.
Yeah. You either have time to spare and you want to read,
right.
and you can read a book, but there are a lot of originating places online where you can. I mean, I'm reading stuff all the time.
I should call this TLDR.
Well,
that'd be a good name for that.
Well.
Said the guy in the helmet.
It would be a good name for somebody who doesn't like this app, I suppose. Too long, didn't read. But I like it. I think it's great.
You like long form.
I like long form. I think that maybe some of it has to do with the fact that when I just started browsing for the first time, I was like, ooh, I know a lot of these authors. Ooh, I would like to read about, how Louisiana is disappearing into the sea. That's something that's like really interesting
right.
to me. So it might have a little bit to do with the kind of content that surfaces.
I subscribe to The New Yorker. You subscribe to The Atlantic. I like those long, mm-hmm. in-depth pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this would kind of, in some ways, fill that need.
Yeah. It's called long form, and it's ready for you when you're ready to read.
So what I like to do is talk to imaginary animals. Thank you.
Oh, you do.
I do look like Snoopy.
To the animals.
I like to help unicorns find homes and things like that. This is called Speak a Legend, and it is a program your kids, probably from the ages of about 2 to 5 or 6, will really enjoy. It's one of these portrait mode things, so let me just do this. It does need access to the microphone. Once you get it set up for your kids, and the kids... program before you start does make sure that the kid asks for parental permission.
Well,
to use
hey there.
Hey.
I'm Jackie the Jackalope.
Hi, Jackie.
And I'm just one of the critters you'll be meeting here in Speak a Legend.
Oh, how exciting.
Oh, that's nice.
When you come visit us, we've got all kinds of fun stuff for you to touch and discover. Go on, touch whatever you like. My suggestion, try touching them there carrots.
All right, let's touch a carrot. Oh, look, it just throws that carrot. So you can see a kid. Oh.
Great. Once you get us critters' attention, we can start talking to each other. So here's how you use the microphone button.
How?
When it's my turn to talk, the mic button turns gray and has a little X on it.
That little thing at the bottom.
Then it'll turn orange when it's your turn to talk.
I want to talk to the snake.
Let's practice.
Cool snake.
Hold the microphone button down.
Well, you'll see in a second.
Say, I want to find a unicorn, and then let go. Okay, give it a try.
I want to find a unicorn.
So that kid, couldn't have done it better myself.
Kid actually gets to interact with it.
Now get out there and visit all us critters.
And I'll show you in a second. This is just the beginning.
Try touching things to see what they do. And fill up all our friendship meters so you can find the unicorn.
Oh, you're actually looking for
it. And try to have some fun while you're at it. I've heard that helps.
My kids used to love these touch and play games. Again, this is probably for a younger kid. I don't think an older kid would get much out of this. So there's the unicorn. Let's just go right
now. The unicorn ain't gonna reveal himself till you've made friends with all us other critters.
I gotta make friends with all
of them. The unicorn ain't gonna?
Well, that's what...
I'm just having fun.
That's how the kids talk today.
All right. Just
now,
having fun.
I think this is Kirsten Shallott. Kirsten Shallott doing the voice.
I love you, human. Please put down the bug spray.
I love her voice.
Hello. I am the fairy of the forest, and I shall grant thee thy thou. Oh, I'm sorry. I'd love to help you on your unicorn quest, but I'm new at this. I have to become a better fairy. Will you please help me?
Yes.
We'd love to.
Yes, I would love to.
I know this is going to work. You granted my wish for a young explorer to come teach me fairying.
I just think a kid would adore this.
Okay, here's my
and actually, the voice work in it is really fun. This is so good. Wishes,
this seems like something, for what would you say the age range is? I don't know, like two to five type of thing.
Yeah, not 8, not 12.
But it's nice that it's interactive, so it's not just sort of a
yo ho. Yeah, the kid gets...
I'm not doing that.
Fly, fairy.
Wait. Oh, right. I thought you meant I had to
No, but because that would be... But you're saying... Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. I got confused.
Maybe okay, I have the mind of a five-year-old.
I'm granting that wish.
I actually like this.
No, you look... I mean, you look good doing it. Fingers feel Everything funny. About this seems really...
Kind of kinky.
Up to you.
What's in the bag?
Oh, wow. Sounds like I'm going to need all the pixie dust I've got. Oh, but you can keep playing with it. It's okay. It refills itself forever. You know, magic. Oh, I want to be the best fairy ever.
Anyway, you get the idea. And we can go back and look at the other creatures and
okay.
The jackalope.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a little kid.
It's
you
a little
want
kid.
Him to shut up for a while and give him this up. And they have a good time.
Yeah.
They're little friends.
I could see a kid. This is something a kid could play for hours without bothering him.
Yeah. And that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Let's keep the kid entertained so that they don't bother us.
See, I think that's Kristen
while
Shaw.
We're having our sherry.
Oh,
that's actually kind of cute. Little dragon had a little bow at her hair.
Are you looking for the unicorn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen a unicorn anywhere, and I'm not allowed to go outside and look for you because I've got...
Okay, that's enough.
Oh, that's really cute.
You get
really
the idea.
Cute.
It keeps Leo busy for hours.
That's cute, actually. I like it. A little dragon with a cold.
It's a dragon with a cold.
So that's it for this episode of Why Not Today. You know what we should always end on? A little baby dragon with a cold.
I think so.
You know, that's not asking too much. I think that's
you can read your long articles.
Reasonable.
I'm going to talk to a dragon.
Exactly. I'm going to read about Louisiana sinking into the sea.
Yeah, that's depressing.
And Leo's going to talk to carrots. It's fine. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening to this episode of iPad Today. As we mentioned, next week's theme, we've already decided, is going to be Adobe's new suite of apps.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll give us, you know, we've got some time to do some deep diving into the research portion. And we'll come out swinging next Monday. But thanks, everybody, who joined us. Remember, we're live on Mondays about noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. You can catch us at twit.tv/IPT. And until next week... He's Leo Laporte, looking good. I'm Sarah Lane. And thanks for watching.